Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
All right, today we take 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 22. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 22. 1 Thessalonians 5, the title of the chapter is The Testimony of Believers. The testimony believers are to have while waiting for the coming day of the Lord. Remember in chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, Paul answered the question concerning how the Lord is going to come, and how those who have died in Christ will be raised. But in chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, Paul addresses the issue of when it's going to happen, and what we are to do in light of when it is going to happen. The coming of Christ is going to happen like a thief in the night, and though that will not affect true believers, it will affect those who do not know Christ. We are to be watching. That is to be alert in the heart. We are to be sober in our thoughts and to approach this life soberly, sober thinking, and have our hearts in a watchful condition. Now, what's interesting is in verses 12 to 22 tells us how to be sober in our thinking and how to be watchful. It gives us a series of commands. Verse 12. In verses 12 and 13, we have the consideration of leaders. Very important subject in the last days and waiting for the Lord. Verse 12 says, Now, brothers, we request you to know. English translations say to recognize, but literally we request you to know the ones laboring among you, first of all. Second of all, and taking the lead of you in the Lord. And third of all, and warning you. The word admonish is the word warn. These are leaders. Know them. Recognize them. Who are laboring amongst you. Laboring is a participle that shows working to the point of exhaustion. Recognize those who are working to the point of exhaustion. Who are taking the lead of you in the Lord. The second thing. Leading is a word that means to stand in front. So leaders who stand in front and lead the people. And thirdly, warning you. The traditional translations use the word admonish. Who admonish you. And the word literally means to place in the mind. So it means warning. The same word used by Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, when he says, And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. The training and warning of the Lord. Place in their mind the warning. It comes in being disobedient to Christ. Verse 13, and to esteem them above, out, and beyond in love on account of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. The second thing, first thing to do is to recognize those who perform those three functions. But the second thing in verse 13 is esteem them. The word esteem has to do with the governing thought of the mind. To esteem them, here are three words I want to give you literally. I left it literal in the literal text. The English translation usually says abundant or highly favored, but it says esteem them above, out, and beyond. Three words that all depict where your thoughts are to go. Above, out, and beyond in love on account of their work. On account of their work. Now that's the key to verses 12 and 13. The people are not to be put on pedestals, nor are they to be treated any different as people compared to other people. The point of the text is to take high regard for them because of the work that they have to do. In other words, they have a commission that God has chosen them and called them to do something. Take that into consideration. So this whole text is saying if somebody is laboring, leading, admonishing, put in your thought process as the leading thought of your mind, esteem these people above, out, and beyond all of your considerations for the Lord's work, mainly because of their work. We have parents and family. We have kids growing up challenging the parents. Why do you think you are, who do you think you are, is a general attitude amongst people who are rebelling against authority and leadership. The parents are in a responsible position. And children are to be trained and disciplined and warned the consequences of such disorderliness. We are to respect the function and position that they are in, honor and honor that position. So the Lord is saying this for their work's sake, because of what they have to do, because of their responsibility. We are told in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. What he's saying here is, be under God's persuasion, under God's ministry through those who are leading you and being submission, because these leaders are watching on behalf of your soul as those who give an account. So those in leadership are going to have to give an account for how they led the people under them. As we'll see in a minute, Paul was always ministering to people, thinking of the day that they are going to stand before the Lord. That's what he wanted. Now he says the reason why you want to submit is this is profitable for you, so that they can do their job with joy and not with grief. Paul says that he had care over all the churches in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 28. He says one of the things that he had to suffer through was sleepless nights. Nights when he didn't sleep because the Lord had burdened him to pray for certain churches because they weren't being obedient to the Lord. How leaders are affected depends on the people's obedience and response and submission to the word of the Lord. And then he says at the end of verse 13, be at peace among yourselves. That's the whole point. Instead of rebellion, be at peace among yourselves. Verses 14 through 22 is a list of 13 commands. These all are in present tense verbs. In other words, whatever these commands are, we are to be doing them presently and continuously. There's 13 of them. We have translated the literal translation to depict the present tense imperative to be doing something. Verse 14. The commands of orderliness. Now we encourage you, brothers, be warning the disorderly, be comforting the faint-hearted, be sustaining the weak, be long-suffering toward all. The first command is be warning. There's your present tense. Be continuously and presently warning. Be warning the disorderly. The disorderly ones are ones who rebel against order. Just got through talking about leadership. Those who rebel against leadership, they are to be admonished or warned. Now, this is our word again. It means to warn them, to place in the mind. Continue to warn those who are disorderly. The second command. Be comforting the faint-hearted. The Greek word for faint-hearted is literally small-souled. Small-souled. Two Greek words make up a compound word, meaning small and then soul. Comfort the small-souled ones. Comfort those who have a small soul capacity. Would be the literal translation. Those whose souls don't have much capacity, they're weak. So we are to comfort them who have small-souled capacity. Thirdly, be sustaining the weak. Sustain means to come up underneath and to hold them up from underneath. To be a support. Sustain them. It doesn't say baby them. It doesn't say nurse them. Be beneath them. Be a support for them. They still have to walk with the Lord, but they might need to have to walk with a little support. But they still have to walk themselves. It's giving support. Sustaining. Those who are weak, rather than telling them, oh, get with it. Be a little stronger. Don't be so weak. We are told in the scriptures, the weak you'll always have with you. Fourthly, be long-suffering towards all. Long-suffering is the literal translation. It's one of two words in the scriptures that's used for the word patience. The word patience in dealing with circumstances is the Greek word hupomeno, to remain under. Patience with people is called long-suffering, makrosumia. It means to be in slow and human reaction towards everybody. Be slow in your human reaction towards everybody. Verse 15. See that anyone should not return evil for evil to anyone, but always be pursuing the good, both towards one another and towards all. Evil for evil. The word evil in the text is not the word poneros for sin or Satan. It is the evil for human adversity, to cause harm, to cause hurt. Adversity to give people a hard time would be this type of evil. In the Old Testament, it is translated adversity. Don't render adversity back to people who are causing adversity for you. Don't get caught up in this destructive cycle just because someone is giving you a bad time. No payback. But rather, always be pursuing that which is good. Now, the word good here is the Greek word agathos. It is not good humanitarian speaking. It is agathos, that is, the good quality of God's nature and God's spirit. A young ruler came up to Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "Why did you call me good? There's only one good, and that's God." And he used the word agathos. Agathos describes God when the text says that Jesus went about doing good. It was agathos. He wasn't being a good humanitarian. He was not doing, humanly speaking, good things, but rather it was the Spirit of God reaching out and doing the good. So it's this type of good. Pursue that which is good when it comes to people who are treating you adversely. And you're to pursue it. Pursue the good. Don't chase after adversity or payback or human reaction in that way, but rather pursue the good of God for the people who are causing adversity for you. Then it says, both towards one another and towards all. Towards one another is the body of Christ. Then towards everyone, including non-believers. So the priority is the body of Christ. Verse 16, be rejoicing always. And again, the translation reflects the present tense, continuous action, and present condition action. Be rejoicing always. The word rejoice comes from an old Chaldean word, kar, which means to flow. It also has to do with the adrenaline flow from the athletes in the Colosseum games. Anything that has a free flow to it. And what it meant in Greek was satisfaction. Satisfaction one feels in competing in the athletic games. They love the satisfaction of doing something physically athletic. So those words brought for the believer that meant be satisfied at all times continuously. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul is using the same terminology when he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. It's the same word. So find your satisfaction in the Lord, he is saying, at all times, and I will continue to repeat it, be satisfied in the Lord. He was making this applicable in Philippians chapter 4, to two women, Euodias and Syntyche, who were not getting along in the church. And Paul says the first thing you have to do is be satisfied with what the Lord wants. Be satisfied with Him, not with what you want. Verse 17, be praying unceasingly. Now this doesn't mean that you're driving down the freeway with your eyes closed all the time, praying. This reflects an attitude of I'm not going to leave off from prayer. Prayer is talking with the Lord. And when we get upset about things, one of the first things that happens is we stop praying. We stop talking to the Lord because we're angry with Him. And so, be praying unceasingly. Don't let anything interfere with the prayer life, with communication with the Lord. Verse 18. In everything be giving thanks, for this will of God in Christ Jesus toward you. And notice how I read that, because it's literally doesn't read, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, but in everything be giving thanks for this will of God in Christ Jesus toward you. In other words, everything that's happening is God's will. I am in the will of God. For this will that I'm in of God, I am to be thankful in everything and receive it as being God's will. We are to be thankful because it's God's will, whatever it might be. Now, the word giving thanks is a very interesting word. It is a word of reflection. In other words, it means to respond with thanks, respond with grace. The word thanksgiving comes from two words, the word you, which is a prefix that means good or well, and the word charis, grace. Eucharisteo is the word for thanks. And what this means is have a good response to grace. We don't practice giving thanks. We don't make it a practice to give thanks to God. We respond to God's grace by giving thanks. Much like John said in 1 John chapter 4, that we love God because he first loved us. Love is a response. Giving thanks is a response. We thank him because of his grace. We're giving thanks in everything for this will of God in Christ Jesus toward you. Verse 19. Do not be quenching the Spirit. To quench means to snuff out, to make dull. In other words, stop continually hindering and quenching the Holy Spirit from ministering. Verse 20. Do not be rejecting prophecies. Do not be rejecting prophecies. Literally, stop rejecting prophecies. We have prophets in our day. We are encouraged to prophesy. But what exactly does it mean? God does not speak through prophets anymore. Jesus Christ is the last spokesperson, according to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, where it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, he has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So in old time, he spoke by the prophets. But now in these last days, he's spoken to us in his Son. And then John in the book of Revelation indicated both what he and Peter had emphasized in their letters, that Scripture is now prophecy. John in the book of Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. Remember that John says, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anybody takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. So, prophecy is now scripture. And a person that gets up and gives prophecies is a person who shares the scriptures. The word prophet in Greek means to be a spokesperson. prophet today is somebody who takes the word of God because scripture is now prophecy and he ministers it. So do not be rejecting prophecies, people who minister the scriptures. Don't be rejecting it. Verse 21, be testing all things, be holding firm the good. There's two commands there. To test means to give approval after putting it to the test. Put something to the test in order to give it the approval. Coming right after prophecies, you can see how he's saying to test all things. Don't reject prophecies, but test all things. Be holding firm the good. Be holding firm the good. This word for good is the word kalos, not the word agathos that we just studied. This word kalos means right. Hold firm to what's right. In verse 22, be abstaining from every form of evil. To abstain, literally hold yourself away from every form of evil. The word evil in the word is the word poneros. It's the word for Satan. He is the evil one. The word form is actually the word for a system. It literally means do not participate in any system of evil. When the system of evil is present, don't participate in it. Evil is a lifestyle. It is a system. It is a habit of life. And I am to abstain from that. Get away from it as far as possible. Now, in conclusion, all of these commands that we've studied are all present imperatives, present tense commands, which means these are things that we are to be continually and presently doing. This is what we are to be doing while we're waiting for the coming of the Lord. This is what it means to be watchful and in the thinking soberly and not allowing the world's philosophy and its activities to pull us away as we wait for the Lord's return. Next week, we finish out this chapter and finish out the book of 1 Thessalonians next week. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that it gives and instructions. Help us to not despise prophecy. That is the reading of Scripture and the teaching of Scripture. But help us to take it to heart. Help us to review. Help us to apply to our hearts those things that you would have us to know from this lesson today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.